Let's get down to what we're talking about. We've been working on a message, Change Your Life. And we've been working on this for a few weeks now. And we determined on week one that everybody wants to change their life, some aspect of their life. Everybody needs change. Some people are afraid of change, but they still need it. And so in week one, we talked about having the desire to change. In week two, we talked about seeing it, seeing where do you want to go? Because sometimes if you want to change, but you don't know what you're going to change into, that can be scary. If you don't know where you're going or who you're going to become, it becomes a little bit of a scary process. But God wants to show us who we can be, what we're capable of, and where we're going. And when we see where God is taking us, now it gets exciting. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now it gets exciting because we know who we can become. We know there's a dream, there's something to shoot for that's higher than where we are. We can climb to greater heights. And so we've got to see that. So first we have the desire, then we see it. Now last week I talked about taking action. We have to take action. It's not enough just to see this great dream or vision and sit there all day and dream about it and go, wow, that'd be so cool. You've got to take some action. You've got to do some things in order to propel yourself, move yourself towards that plan. You're not going to get there if you're sitting on the sofa day after day and thinking, that'd be pretty cool. No, you got to get up. Get out the door. Start doing the things that God is guiding you to do to get there. Now, I kind of was thinking, is that enough? Because these were practical steps. I was talking about practical things over the last 3 weeks that we really need to implement. And I hope you guys were doing your homework, because I gave you a little bit of homework there for a couple of weeks to, you know that you have a desire, begin to see where it is you're going, and now begin to put into action. I said, I hope you're going to do some action this week. Did anybody take some action towards changing their life, towards moving towards that vision that God has? I mean, if you came to the workshop yesterday, I'm going to say, yes, you've already, that was some action. Okay, good. That's going to count. So we want to move in that way. Now, I started thinking about and talking to God about changing your life, and I wanted to add another layer into that because the practical steps are important, and I hope you're going to apply those. But one of the most important things about changing our lives is belief. We need to believe. We need to believe that we can change our life. We need to believe that, because if you believe that you can't change, if you believe that I'm always going to be this person that I am today, that you see when you look in the mirror, if you believe this is all I'm ever going to do, if you believe I can't do greater, the world's against me, I was born in the wrong family, I didn't have the privileges and the education that I needed, I don't have the talents and the gifts that everybody else has, if you believe that, then you've just locked yourself into a place where change becomes impossible. You have to believe to change. You have to believe that you can be somebody different. And as I talked about in week one, it's God's will for you to change. He has created you and created a plan for your life, a great plan for your life, for you to be something amazing. And so that requires that you begin to believe in that plan. You begin to believe for something greater in your life. So you have to begin to believe beyond where you were. Now, there's some cool things that I like to talk about here. And this is important because last week I was talking about how I was kind of comparing that changing your life is a lot like escaping from prison. You know, because in a way you're kind of locked up. You're locked into these old patterns. You're locked into this old way of being. And so I went into a lot of detail last week about how to escape from prison. We were talking about how would you escape from prison if you were locked up in prison. And I went through the details and we talked about some great escape from prison movies like The Shawshank Redemption and Escape from Alcatraz and The Great Escape, you know. So we talked about these movies and we looked at it in a very practical sense that if we were going to be locked up in prison, how would we get out? And we applied some steps to that. So I hope you were here to get those steps. And those were practical steps. But beyond those steps, we got to go beyond that. Because one of the things we have to understand is that God has already created a great escape for us. He has already created a great escape for you. You've already got a get out of jail card free.
Amen.
You already have been released. You've been pardoned from the prison that you were in. And we need to understand that, because now, if you know that, if you start to believe what God has promised and what God has done, if you start to believe that, you will realize that who you think you are, or what you think is stopping you, or what you think is preventing you from reaching your goals, or what you think is limiting you, you will start to believe that that's not true. You will start to believe what God has said rather than what you're seeing in the mirror. You will start to believe that you can do greater things. And if you want to change your life, you need to have that kind of believing. The kind of believing that steps out beyond and knows, I'm already free. The chains have already been broken. The walls have already come down. I have already been pardoned out of prison. And this is a cool thing. Let's take a look at something here. Now, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Paul has written this to the Corinthians, but this is very applicable to what we're talking about today. He's talking about Jesus. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he's talking about Jesus, and he is saying that when Jesus, now this is God, comes down into a physical body, into a human body, and walks upon the earth. He did this because there were these laws, the Ten Commandments, plus a bunch of other laws, 600 other laws on top of them. And the whole idea was that people were supposed to get these all right, do them all right, and the problem was nobody could do it. Nobody could get all the laws right. Nobody was perfect. Nobody could do this. And God knew that. So what God did, he loved us so much, he comes down, he walks on the earth, and guess what? God is perfect. And because God is perfect, he is able to fulfill, accomplish, achieve all the laws without a single mistake. And so this body that's walking, named Jesus, that is God, is perfect and has made no mistakes, which means now he is righteous. He is in right standing with God. When God looks at this person, he sees they don't have a blemish, they don't have a mistake, they didn't break a law. If they didn't break a law, then they're not convicted or a criminal. They're innocent. They're righteous. They're in right standing with me. Remember, God is perfect. God is righteous. God is all light, all goodness. And he wanted to bring us up to that level so that we could now be with him. If we're down there and we're all messed up and we've got all kinds of mistakes and we're not perfect, we can't come up to his level. Because he is so perfect and so bright, it is like the sun. The sun just is so fiery and so powerful and so light. And it looks so beautiful sometimes, right? You see it, and sometimes it brings tears to your eyes. It's so beautiful. And then you get too close to it, and it burns you if you get too close to it. It's hot, right? So even though it's so incredible, if you get too close, it'll burn you. It's sort of the way God is. And it's not that God wants to burn you. It's just the nature that he is so perfect and so pure that you can't get close. But now he comes down in this body, and he becomes righteous. The body becomes righteous. This is the first time this happened, that somebody in a human form becomes righteous. And now, as Paul is talking about, that he was made sin. So this body that was righteous, that had made no mistake, that had committed no crime, that had no shortcomings, that had been perfect in all ways, is now convicted, made sin, meaning made to pay the price for all the others who were flawed and who had made mistakes and who should have been convicted, because God loved us. So God does this. What he's doing is he's basically finding a scapegoat for us, finding somebody to take the blame for us. Because if we had to stand trial for our mistakes and face the judgment, we would have to go to jail. And then we would have to come up with an escape plan to get out of jail, because we would be in trouble. But, and I'm not talking about physical laws here, I'm talking about the spiritual laws of God. But just like physical laws, if you break a law, there's consequences. You go to the court, you face the judge sentences you if you get found guilty, and you get put away for however long. Spiritual laws also have consequences as well. And so if we break those, a judgment comes, and then we have to face some sort of punishment for that. But we don't have to face a punishment for that anymore. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We don't have to face a punishment because he found a scapegoat. There's this great movie. It was called The Whipping Boy. I don't know if you... Did you see this? It was like a comedy. And it was about this this prince. He was like this... He was a young boy still. Anytime he would do something bad, he had another boy that was the whipping boy. And so if he did something bad, the whipping boy got beaten. So, of course, he was obnoxious, this prince. He would do all kinds of things that were just really bad. And then the whipping boy would get his whipping. And so, of course, he really learned some valuable lessons there. But essentially, though, what we have, what God has created for us, is there is a whipping boy in our life, and that has taken on the mistakes and is taking on the punishment for what we have done. So any mistakes that we have made are lifted from us. Instead of us being convicted because he was convicted for us, because he had to face up to all our mistakes, because he had made no mistakes himself, and this is God in the body, so he can take it, he can face it, because he is God. And he loved us so much, he said, I don't want you to face it. I'm going to face it. I'll face it myself. I'll face what it takes. And so he took all of our mistakes. And now think about this. This is where it gets a little confusing, because he took all of our mistakes before we were ever born. Meaning he took all the mistakes that we've already made in our life. If you're making a mistake right now, he's taken that too. Any mistakes you'll make in the future, he's also taken those. He has taken those upon himself at that moment where he became sin, where he became, took all the iniquities, all the mistakes, all the shortcomings, all the stuff that was broken, all the laws that were broken, all of that stuff was taken at that moment by God in the human form onto himself, and he is now convicted of it. He has made sin for us. And he is convicted of it. Let me read something here. This is interesting. I hope you're staying with me on this. Here's what it says in Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. So he took off of us every mistake and every shortcoming. He took it off of us. We can give it to him because he took it. And he already paid the price for it, which means you can't be tried again. If already somebody served the time, did the time for the crime, you don't have to serve that time. Somebody did the time for that crime. Thankfully, we didn't have to do the time. Jesus did the time, which is God in the physical body. He did the time. So he took that upon himself so that our stuff could be blotted out. So that means when God looks at you, does God see your shortcomings? Does God see that you're not good enough? Does God see that you don't have the ability to be perfect? No. God blotted that out. That means, now if God blots it out, that means it doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist. Now, it might be existing in your mind, but it doesn't exist in God. It doesn't exist in his mind. If it's blotted out, he doesn't see it anymore. It's been blotted out. So he has taken it upon himself so that when he looks at you, he doesn't see shortcomings. He doesn't see mistakes. All the laws were fulfilled by that, meaning you were made righteous. That means now you are in right standing. Now, if you were in right standing, you wouldn't be put into prison. You'd be given a pardon. You'd be released. They'd see you and go, oh man, this guy is innocent. This guy is innocent because we found over here the scapegoat. This guy here says he did it. This guy here took all the punishment and took all that for this guy. So this guy obviously is exonerated and we let him out of prison. And that is what happened with us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's what happened with us. God traded places with us. He took on our stuff and he was convicted for it and he paid the price for it so that we could be let out of prison. So we don't have to escape from prison. We've been released from prison. We've already been released from prison. But now we've got to begin to believe that, because if we still believe that we have shortcomings, that we're not good enough, that we're not talented enough, that we're never going to make it, then we're never going to believe that we can have that change and have that great life which God has set up for us. We won't believe that. So where does the real change need to take place? The real change needs to take place in our believing. If we believe God, if we believe in God, if we believe what God has said, if we believe what God promised, God made certain promises. He made certain contractual obligations. He made agreements. He said to you, here's what I'm going to do. When he says that, he's saying, I promise. When God promises, can God break a promise? Does God go back on something he said? Does he change his word? Is he wishy-washy? No. When God says something, it's like an ironclad guarantee. He has made a contract, a promise with you. The minute you say, yes, I'll agree to that contract, God, because you're... Let me get this straight here before I sign this. You're saying that if I receive Jesus into my heart, if I believe... That's another way to say it. If I believe your promises, if I believe that in Jesus, that means I believe that I've been exonerated from the crimes and all the mistakes that I've made, and I get to go free out of prison. Is that what the contract's saying? I get to go free? And no consequences? Yes, that's what the contract's saying. I'll sign that. Okay, I like that. Do you like that deal? Do you like that? Now, he has made that contract, that guarantee. He doesn't change his mind. He's not going to rip it up. He's not going to change it. He's not going to say, you didn't read the fine print. He's not going to say that. There is no fine print with God. It's very clear. And that means the minute you agree to that, you are set free. You are set free to live the life that God created for you. Let's read something else here from the Bible. Now, this is what Jesus said. Jesus already knows when he comes to walk on the earth, he knows why he's here. He knows what is going to happen. He knows what he's going to do. Because some people, they make out like he didn't even have a clue. You know, he got ambushed and they killed him. He didn't even see it coming. Wrong. He knew from the very beginning. He knew he was coming for this reason. He was coming so that he could take this stuff on us so that we could go free. Because it's God's plan. He loves us so much. He says, I don't want you guys to have to go through this. I'll go through it. God says, I'll go through it because I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I've got the power. I got the power to do this, right? So I'm going to do it. I'm not going to, you guys do this. It's going to kill you guys if you go through this. I don't want that to happen. I love you. I'll do it. I'll take it on me. So here, Jesus comes. He knows what he's going to do. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Here's what he says. He's reading a prophecy, but he's really, in a way, he's saying, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Liberty. I have come to give freedom. I have come to give you freedom. I have come to set you free from the things that have been holding you in prison. All the things in your life that I compared last week to being a prison and saying that they're holding you and stopping you? Jesus came and said, I have come to release you from that prison. I have come to let you go so that you don't have to be in prison and you don't have to be convicted and you don't have to pay the price. Amen. And I'm going to open the way for you. Jesus says this because he already knows what he's going to do. And so now it comes down to if we're going to change your life, how are we going to do it? We got to believe. We got to believe in God, believe in the promises of God, and believe that God came down on the earth and opened the way for me to have liberty, have freedom, for me to step out of all the things that I think I am, all the things that I believe that I am, all the limitations I believe are stopping me, all the things that are saying that I don't have enough talent or I'm not smart enough or I'm not good enough to reach that goal, what God showed me, the dream that I have in my heart, the thing that God said, this is who I created you to be. And you've got believing that says, oh, I can't do that. You've got to believe now that you've already been freed from all those false beliefs. You've got to change your believing. If you change your believing and go from saying, I can't do this, believing you can't do this, to believing I can do it because I've been liberated, I've been given freedom, I've been already let out of jail, meaning there's nothing that can stop me. There's nothing that can hold me because somebody else already took all the stuff that was preventing me from becoming my true self, having my great life, my amazing life, from enjoying my life. Somebody else already took all that stuff and they already paid the price for it, meaning they got to have the crappy life so that I wouldn't have to. They got to go through all the suffering so that I wouldn't have to. They got to go through all that stuff so that I could be free. So that I now can live a life of adventure, a life of miracles, a life of happiness and joy, a blessed life, the life that God created for me from the very beginning. Now that's my life. Say amen to that. That's what God wants us to have. And that's where God is taking us. So he pardoned us. Here in Colossians 2:13 it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Him being Jesus. So when you come together, you're made alive. Having forgiven all trespasses. Every single thing, all. What does all mean? All means everything. Was anything excluded? Was there anything that wasn't forgiven? No. No. Because some people say, oh, you know, Ted, I've did some pretty bad things in my life. And I hear this a lot where people go, you know, you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know the evil things I've done or the things I've thought about. I mean, I've thought some pretty evil things, Ted. So I don't think God's going to forgive me for that. And I can't receive Jesus into my heart because I've done too many bad things. And there are people out there in the world that are standing far from God, because they believe they've done too many bad things. They believe that they've made too many mistakes, that they've got too many shortcomings. But right here, it says all. All trespasses have been forgiven. All. It doesn't matter what level you think it is. It doesn't matter how bad you think it was. God already knows it. And God knew it before you were ever born. And God already made provisions for that to let you go free. Because he's got his scapegoat. He's got the one that paid the price. And he did that because he loves you. And he knows, God's saying, if I can just get that stuff off their back, if I can just free them from this darkness that's trying to plague them, if I can just pull that off of them, I know they're going to have a great life. I know they're going to do super things. I know they're going to accomplish miracles. I know they're going to have success on all levels. If I can just get that stuff off of them. And so what did he do? He planned it out. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that stuff off of them. Comes down, he walks on the earth. He takes the stuff upon himself, meaning he gets it off of you. And now to change your life, you've just got to believe it. You've got to believe there's nothing holding me back. There is no prison. There's nothing that can stop me. If I have faith, meaning believe, believe in God, believe in His promises, believe in this plan that I'm talking right here, that He has fulfilled it. If I believe that, now there's nothing that can stop me. I have liberty. I have freedom. And that's what we need to do. We need to now work on our believing. The most important thing to change our life is we've got to believe it. If you believe it, you can achieve it. Amen. If you believe it, you can see it. Amen. If you believe it, now you can go there. You can be there. You will have it. It's just a matter of now changing the beliefs. Amen. All the work has already been done. Right. All the work was done 2,000 years ago to set you free, so that you could now go out and have a life of liberty. It was done 2,000 years ago. The minute we invite Jesus into our heart, we're saying, I agree to that contract. I like that deal. That's a good deal. I'm signing that. It's for me. And the minute we say that, now we've got to bring, the last part is bringing our believing now into alignment with it. The spirit gets changed. God takes out the old spirit and He brings in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You have a new spirit. Woo! Feels good. Brand new. Amen. It's not used. It's brand new. New spirit now. And that spirit is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of authority. It starts to lift you up and change things. Amen. What lags behind is the believing. Because we can still let ourselves go back and think about mistakes we've made. We still can go back and think about, well, I'm not good enough. We can still go back and start to believe. That's all false beliefs, though. Why? Because that doesn't belong to Him anymore. The minute I signed that contract with God, it was taken off of me and it was put onto somebody else, meaning it's not mine anymore. Now, I've got to renew my mind to believing the promises of God. If I can believe that I've been given liberty, now I can go free. I can walk that new life. This is, so here, listen to this. Here's another interesting one. This one we already read here, but I wanted to go a little bit further with it. In verse 14 it says, having wiped out the writings of the requirement that was against us, that's talking about the Ten Commandments and all the other laws. There were certain regulations we had to live up to before. That's been wiped out. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's been taken care of. See, so having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. It was difficult. We couldn't do it. None of us were perfect. We couldn't do that. Luckily, God said, I'll come down and do it for you. He has taken it out of the way and having nailed it to the cross. So, now this is interesting because in the old days, what they would do when somebody was convicted, when they were receiving the punishment or the execution, they would have a list of all the things they had done, all the crimes they had committed. They would take those and they would nail them right there so everybody could read why this guy was being executed. People would go, yeah, he was a bad guy. He needs to go. And so having nailed it to the cross, it's talking about having taken all those mistakes and they were put onto him. So that's his conviction. It's talking about Jesus. It showed what he was being convicted of. Now, He, of course, was righteous, you know, but He traded places with us. So He took all the stuff from us. He took all those mistakes. It was nailed to His cross to say, that's my problem. You know, that's why I'm being executed. And we get to have the righteousness now. So we get to receive the righteousness. But we got to believe that. We got to have that believing. If you believe it, if you believe in the promises of God, you will have liberty. If you believe that God set you free, you'll have a great life. If you believe that He came down and walked on the earth, took all those shortcomings off of you, then you don't have them anymore, if you believe that. If you believe all of this stuff, it will work. You will have a life of joy and happiness. And if you don't believe it, then you will be stuck in the old life. Your life will not change if you do not believe what God has said. That's what faith is. We talk about faith, but faith is believing. If we believe what God said, and we believe what God has already fulfilled, and we believe what God has accomplished, we will have what God has said. Amen? Amen. That's how it works. Now, did God say that we have to understand it? Because, Ted, I don't understand how this works. Ted, this doesn't seem fair. I don't think that's right. Ted, I can't quite figure out how it works. Now, I don't completely have total understanding. Did God say we have to understand it? He didn't say that. So you might be sitting there going, I don't understand how it could work. This or this doesn't seem to be fair. God never asked you to understand it. He never said that you needed to have it all figured out and know how it works. It can work without you understanding how it works. You just have to believe. Just by believing, by having faith and saying, yes, that's the life that I want. Yes, God did that. I want that contract. I want to make that deal. Yes, I want to receive the things that you have given me. Yes, I am free from all the old stuff. So if you believe it, it will happen. That's a bottom line. That's where it is. It's simple. We don't have to go to school and study and figure out how it works. We don't have to figure out every little thing. We just have to believe. Change your life. Believe what God said. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.